As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Peter 4:10. I am Rob West. The Bible has dozens of verses about stewardship, but have you ever wondered where stewardship begins? What's it based on? I'll explore that with Chad Clark today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always fun and educational to have Chad Clark on the program. Chad's executive director here at FaithFi, and lately he's been thinking about what stewardship means to this ministry. Chad, it's great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Chad, where does our definition of stewardship begin? Let's dive into that.
Well, I want us to start by just thinking of a target with three rings.
Okay.
And when we think about stewardship, we need to start in the inner circle of that target, the bullseye, if you will,
sure,
which is our heart. And we talk about that a lot here on this program, about how our heart really influences a lot of the decisions that we make. But at the heart of a good and faithful steward, you'll find a love and devotion to Christ. Really, it's our identity that is found in Christ, as Galatians 2:20 points out. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
This is contrary to the world, which is focused on self, where I am at the center. So we have to fight this temptation to put ourself at the center and really make sure that Christ is at the center of our life.
Which is really a differentiator for what we do here at FaithFi, because that beginning point changes everything as we begin to move out from your bullseye. Let's do that. As we move out in the bullseye, what comes next?
Well, once we know that our identity is rooted in Christ, we then can move to the second tier of this target, which is really looking to the Bible for wisdom related to money management. We know that there are over 2,000 verses related to money and possessions found throughout the Bible. And here at FaithFi, we group those into five primary categories, which we call earn, live, give, owe, and grow. And we're not going to go into the details of all of those here today. Rob, I know you talk about these all the time on the program, but we put together a great free ebook on our website, faithfi.com/principles, where you can find the verses and the context related to earn, live, give, owe, grow, to just give you some better ideas around what does the Bible really say about these things. But again, it has to start with our identity in Christ, and then we can move into that second ring of the target, which is the biblical wisdom and what God's word says about managing money and possessions.
Yeah, that's great. So to get a copy of that free ebook, just again, go to faithfi.com/principles and you can read more about what Chad's describing here. So that makes us now, Chad, hearers or readers of the word, but that's not enough, is it?
No, it's not. We are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And so the outermost ring of this target is what we call application. We still have bills to pay. We still have financial decisions to make. But when we make those decisions from the inside out, we recognize that God is the owner of everything. And our role as stewards is simply to glorify him with what he's entrusted to us. This is why we built the FaithFi app. It really has this application layer in mind and is a great tool to help us better understand how we are stewarding God's resources. You can connect your bank accounts, managing your income and expenses, and just better understand the financial decisions that you're making and that you need to make. But we don't want to be too quick to jump to the application layer. We never want to start at the application layer and move inward. We always want to work from the inside out. And that's a really important principle when we think about what it means to be a good and faithful steward.
Yeah, and perhaps this is the opposite of what we would typically be instructed to do by the world, which is start with the financial decisions we're making. And oh, by the way, is there a verse that goes along with that? And then we get to the middle and we're focused on self. And so we're flipping that upside down by starting with our identity in Christ and then going to the principles and ultimately making those real world decisions.
That's exactly right. And if you're looking to better understand how to make Christ that center point of your life, we've got an incredible resource for you. It's a book by our dear friend Michael Blue called Free to Follow. And you can receive this book by going to faithfi.com/give, and we'll send it to you as a gift with any amount that you give to the ministry.
Excellent. Well, Chad, always great to have you with us, my friend. Thanks for giving us perhaps a different paradigm for stewardship today.
Thanks so much.
That was Chad Clark, Executive Director at Faith5. And again, we'd be happy to send you a copy of this book free to follow with a gift of any amount at faith5.com. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. More to come just around the corner. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Our Christian walk is not meant to be easy. If you've heard that it is, take a look at the hardships in Scripture. Our walk is not going to be easy, but it is going to be worth it. Near the end of his life, Paul wrote a letter to the Philippians. What did Paul prize the most as he approached his death? Listen to these words, Philippians 3, 10 and 11. I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so attaining the resurrection from the dead. He didn't want the comforts of this world, but the suffering and resurrection of Christ. Our walk will have suffering, but take heart, it ends in glory. You'll see Christ more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
On the next Focus on the Family, isolation is the worst way you can respond to stress. Instead, find ways to emotionally connect with other people, especially your spouse, so you can experience the comfort and renewal you need to move forward. It's a healing message, especially for your marriage, next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Well, we're going to deal with faith and finance today. We recognize your faith journey is influenced by your financial journey. So we want to put the two together, understanding that we have a high calling as stewards of God's money. So we start where Chad started today in our identity in Christ. It's about our hearts. You remember Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our hearts follow our money. Also, we have to recognize our hearts and our belief system. Well, that informs our behaviors, the actions that we take. And so we have to begin with our heart. And then we go to God's Word and look to the counsel of Scripture to pull out the principles, the big ideas and themes that we can apply to, finally, the actual decisions and choices we're making every day. It's really, we're flipping upside down the world's approach to money management, which often starts with the how and really doesn't ever get to the why. We want to start with the why and move out to the how, because it changes everything. When we have a biblical worldview, we have an eternal perspective, it really informs every decision we make, and that certainly includes our finances. But the result? Well, joy, peace of mind, contentment, freedom, and ultimately a more intimate relationship with the Lord. That's what we're after here on this program each day, and we'd love to do that with you. So give us a call today with whatever you're thinking thinking about financially. Those practical decisions and choices will help you make those decisions with confidence. 800-525-7000, whether it's your living, your giving, your owing, or your growing, 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we have some lines open. Let's begin today in Wisconsin. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is the company you invest in as important as choosing a Christian to invest your money who works for a financial company?
Ah, yes.
I have been a teacher. I've retired, and I had some money put aside, and it was in the a elite retirement group run by a Catholic family, which is a very nice family.
Okay.
But I have a relative that is in the financial field, and I decided to move it to someone else. Is this a good idea or?
Yes. Well, yeah. I would say it's both. You know, if we back up, it really starts with your own personal convictions. I think this is a Romans 14 issue. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. And so I think this is a matter of prayer as to how you approach your deployment of capital. Clearly, we want to be God-honoring in how you do that. And the exciting thing is you have the opportunity to do both, to really make your deployment of capital, your investment, something that aligns with your heart and your convictions, putting it under the authority of Christ, even making it an act of worship. With regard to the actual investments you select or those that are selected for you by an advisor, there is an opportunity to actually seek a return and a positive impact on the world, which is exciting. And we do that through faith-based investments. And the approaches that we can take with that come down to avoidance in some cases. We often avoid companies that might be misaligned with our values. In some cases, we may embrace other companies that have a particular outcome toward human flourishing or even a kingdom impact. I mean, some companies that many of these faith-based investments are choosing are addressing real-world problems like cybersecurity and supply chain resiliency and healthcare solutions. Some of them are even advocating for positive change. Take the solar industry. It's just full throughout the world in the supply chain of slave labor. Well, a lot of the investments that are being made in solar by faith-based investments are avoiding those particular companies that are using supply chain providers that use slave labor and going around them, hoping to really end that practice. Well, that can be done through faith-based investments, and that's really exciting. So I think choosing faith-based investments that are seeking a kingdom impact and avoiding companies that are misaligned with your values makes a lot of sense. The second, though, opportunity is what you also mentioned, and that is having an advisor who shares your values as well. And I think that's equally as important. You know, it's what we talk about here on this program all the time, which is, you know, it's not a matter of somebody's better or worse. It's really a different approach. It's a different worldview or perspective. So having that advisor who shares your values and is committed to bringing the counsel of Scripture to bear in the context of competent professional advice, I think is really important because somebody will understand what God is doing in your life, understand that really money decisions start with your values as a believer, and then flow out from there. So how do you approach all of that? Well, I would say consider having an advisor who has the CKA designation. That's really the only industry designation that's accepted that is for men and women who really want to bring a biblical worldview of money management. And then secondly, if you want to be invested in companies that are God-honoring, that really align with your values and priorities, then you would ask that individual to use a faith-based investing strategy to deploy your capital, and they could choose investments that really only fit into that type of offering. That's a lot of information, though, Ann. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, and I'll work on that.
Yeah. I think the one option is to go back to your current advisor and just say, listen, I'd like to talk about aligning this portfolio, yes, to seek a positive return and minimize risk and accomplish my goals, but also to have a faith-based investing approach and just have that conversation. And that advisor may be able to do that. He or she may not. Then the second approach would be to say, if they can't or he or she can't, then I would consider perhaps moving to an advisor who aligns with your values. And the way to do that is on our website at faithfi.com. It's faithfi.com. And then just click find a CKA. But I think that's something for you to think about, pray about, and then ultimately see where the Lord leads. All right?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome, man. Thank you for being on the program today. We appreciate you. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today to Indiana. Hi, Eric. You'll be next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm currently renting, and I have some 401k money from a previous job, and I'm considering pulling it to use that money for a down payment on a home. And I know I'll pay the penalty and extra taxes and all that. But if I transfer it to my new 401k, I can only borrow about half of that money. It's going to increase my interest rates and limit the amount that I can spend on a home. So I was wondering what you thought about.
Yeah, I'm not really excited about this option for a number of reasons. Number one, as you mentioned, it's expensive money in that it's all going to be taxable, number one. Number two, there is a penalty on top of the tax, so you're probably talking about a 30% haircut at a minimum with the taxes and the penalty. Thirdly, the market's down, so we now are missing out on the opportunity for this to recover. Fourth, this is a bad, time to go in. Just given that not only on top of all of that, you're going to be paying a higher interest rate on the mortgage. So mortgage interest rates right now, for a 30-year loan, 6.75%. You're just getting kind of hit from all sides there. What I'd probably rather you do is wait, save, build up a larger down payment out of current cash flow, let this 401k recover either there or by rolling it to an IRA. You can always pull it out down the road. Let interest rates come down over the next year or so, and then consider buying that house. That's my best advice. By the way, if you want a mortgage partner who shares your values, check out movement.com/faith. Let's finish up off the air, Eric, because I've got to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay right there.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice. And is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
So thankful to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. I'm sure there's something in your financial life that you've been wrestling with, thinking about, wondering how to move forward. Well, we'd love to help you tackle that today. We've got some lines open, perhaps one just for you at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by for your phone call, so call right now. Just before the break, we were talking to Eric in Indiana. He's wanting to purchase a home. He's considering using an old 401k from a previous employer rather than rolling it out, just withdrawing it, paying the taxes and the penalty, and using that to get a larger down payment. Eric, what I was saying before the break was it's expensive money, taxes plus penalty, and minimum of 30%, on top of the fact that now that's not going to be available whenever you're retiring down the road. We miss out on any recovery in the market by pulling it out. And so what about waiting, saving more, and then borrowing maybe a year or a year and a half from now when mortgage interest rates are quite a bit lower? Hopefully we're expecting probably early next year in the fives, and then hopefully below that, you know, latter part of next year. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, my thought is my job that I have, I'm really pumping money into the new 401k with Great Match, and and I am renting now, so the money that I'm spending is not making me any money. It's just money gone, you know.
I hear you on that. What would you have for a down payment if you didn't pull from this 401k?
Not much.
Okay.
I got about, you know, like $20,000, and if I pull this money, but that's my, you know, emergency fund and everything. But if I pull this money, it's $43,000, so it puts me at about $30,000 after penalty and everything.
Yeah, the challenge is, I mean, as much as I hear you on the rent, and I love, you know, building equity through home ownership. And I realize it's frustrating, especially where rental prices are right now. I just think, you know, there's several things here that I don't love, you know, that would cause me to say, as much as you don't like renting, I do still think it makes sense for you to continue to rent. Maybe even back down a little bit of your 401k contributions if you feel like you're, you know, really at the upper end of what you need to be putting in, and save more, because what I'd love for you to do is go into this with at least a 20% down payment. I realize that's going to take some time to build up. I'd love for you to have that emergency fund after you buy it of at least 3 months expenses. So if something comes out of left field, you're not going to credit cards. And I'd love for you to preserve this 401k just because of the taxes and so forth, even if it meant that you're kind of reducing what you're putting away every month into the new 401k because you're preserving what you've got, which is already in there on a tax deferred basis. And so you're not adding that 10% penalty on top of the taxes. So from that standpoint, you know, I think if you could wait it out, you'll do much better in terms of hanging on to the retirement assets, not paying the penalty that's unnecessary, and locking yourself in on a long-term mortgage at, you know, really high interest rates, which is going to make, you know, that even that much more expensive in your budget every month. So just something to think about. I mean, I understand you'd like to do it sooner rather than later, so I get that. But anyway, that's just my best advice.
I appreciate your thoughts, though.
Okay.
I thought I'd call.
Good deal. Well, thank you, Eric. We appreciate you checking in with us, and we'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom as you make this decision here. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He says, as the salt flavors every drop in the Atlantic, so does sin affect every atom of our nature. You see, sin is what you and I say and think and do that offends God's justice. Sin springs from a fallen condition of our hearts and separates people from God. Tragically, our world is broken because of sin, and we all have to wrestle with this as a part of our nature constantly, Christian or not. The tendency towards sin, though, touches every part of our lives, including our finances. Let me take just a moment to talk about a sin I think that is so prevalent here in the West in particular, and it's often overlooked in all of our lives, and I'm talking to myself as well, and that's the sin of greed. By the way, we are still taking your calls today, and I'd love to hear from you if you have a question on a financial matter at 800-525-7000. We'll head back to the phones here in just a moment. But you've heard, of course, of the seven deadly sins. This was a list that was drawn from the Bible by Christians back in the 4th century, pride, envy, wrath, lust, gluttony, sloth, and of course, greed. Now, let's dive into that area of greed here for a moment. As the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So anyone with any of these seven deadly sins can spring from a love of money. But greed is soul-destroying, folks, because it's selfish. You see, a greedy person wants to accumulate wealth, power, or status for themselves at the expense of others. While greedy desire itself might not be against the law, it can lead to all kinds of illegal acts. These sound like pretty severe things, and they certainly can be. But what we need to focus on is the antidote to greed. And the way we break the power of selfish desire in our lives is ultimately generosity. When we give generously, we're breaking out of selfishness and thinking about the needs of others. You see, when we're generous, God begins to turn our hearts outwards. Generosity brings joy instead of bitterness, satisfaction instead of frustration. So here's my challenge to you. Ask God to show you someone who can help you with your resources today, whether it's your time, your skills, or your money, and then give willingly and generously. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever sin you struggle with in your heart today, whether it's greed or something else, just know that God stands ready to forgive you. Jesus, of course, paid the price on the cross, and all we have to do is confess and then pray with King David in Psalm 51 when he said, create in me a pure heart, O God, renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of our salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain. I hope that's an encouragement. Your calls are next. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to join us Friday, July 14th for the Hearts of Fire virtual event. You'll meet four courageous women who showed incredible commitment to Christ in the face of intense persecution. This special event is free. Hear these inspiring testimonies of costly faith, plus worship led by Michael W. Smith. You can watch from wherever you are. Register online at heartsevent.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. It's my privilege to join with you, talk about God's wisdom related to your finances, and answer your questions, which, by the way, we have some lines open today, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head back to the phones to Arkansas. Hi, Raymond. Thank you for being on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hello. I appreciate your program. I listen to it, and I've got a question really concerning whether it's be good at this time to invest in like gold or silver. Hmm. You know, I see a recommendation like 10% of your portfolio, in precious metals, and I've got a little bit, but not enough to amount to much. But I've got some other money invested with the stock market, with the economy like it's going right now. I wonder whether I should put some more over into like gold or silver.
Yeah, I like that a lot. As long as you don't get too highly concentrated, I would say a target percentage is around 10%. But it's a great option. I mean, it's a hedge against inflation, which we know is affecting us in significant ways right now, because with inflation, our purchasing power decreases. So if we have cash, we're losing money. Gold, on the other hand, is often considered a hedge against inflation. So as the value of the dollar goes down, the value of gold often increases. It's not always the case, but it's typically the case. It's also a safe haven for difficult economic conditions, which certainly, you know, the trend is not positive there with regard to some of the decisions being made in this country, including our national debt. So it can help you get through, an economic period where there is some fear and uncertainty, and it's positively correlated, the price of gold, that is, to pessimistic expectations on the part of consumers. And then finally, it's a great way to diversify. So when you are diversifying into asset classes other than stocks and bonds, it's just following the wisdom of Ecclesiastes to not have all of your eggs in one basket. The downside, Raymond, why you wouldn't want to go, in my view, beyond the 10% or so, is that it just doesn't perform as well over the long haul for long-term price appreciation. It could hold you back from the gains you would have gotten in stocks or bonds. That's just when we look over the last 100 years or more, that's just the case. And it doesn't generate any income. So whereas investments can have dividends and bonds can have interest income, you know, gold obviously does not. So I think for that reason, I like, you know, if you have some excess money beyond what's already invested in stocks and bonds, and you still have your cash reserves available, then, you know, allocating to the precious metals makes some sense to me, as long as you just don't go overboard.
Right. I was planning on doing about 10%. And like I said, I know gold and silver is probably pretty high right now. And you can ride out this little inflation era we're going through. And when the market comes back, naturally, usually the gold prices drop a little bit. Like I said, it's never worth zero, but
that's right.
You got some value there. Like I said, you're lucky you might break even, but like I said, it's a safe place to kind of put it, I think. You know, it's like I said, it's always got some value.
Yeah, that's right.
And
Go ahead.
No, I just said I've got this money. I got it in stocks, and like I said, they're performing okay, but I don't, like you said, I don't know what the future holds with the way the government's running right now.
Yeah. Well, gold certainly had some good years, especially on the heels of the pandemic. 2019 up around 19%. The spot price of gold 2020 up about 24%. But then 21 and 22 was flat to down. So far, year to date, we're up about 5%. But again, it's, you know, kind of all over the map. But that's the beautiful part of diversification, is when something in your portfolio is up, something else might be down, and vice versa. And overall, the long-term trend should be positive. So I think you're on the right track here with a 10% allocation. One thing you may want to consider is maybe take 5% of that, half of your allocation, and put it in now, and then another 5-6 months from now, just to kind of dollar cost average a bit, you know, into the price of gold in case we have a move one way or the other. But if we are headed to a recession, and that's what most economists think, then gold should do well, just at least historically speaking.
Now, what would be your opinion on gold and silver, or gold or silver?
Yeah, I tend to favor gold over silver, especially if you're, you know, just allocating 10%. You know, it's done better over time. The price tends to hold up a little better. So that would be my preference. But certainly there's, you know, value in silver, and they don't always move together. But I just think gold is probably the better option.
Okay, well, I sure appreciate your advice, and I'm going to look into it a little deeper.
All right,
well,
Raymond.
You hear the advertisements and those guys, that they're trying to make a commission. So I said, I want somebody, an unbiased opinion there.
Yes, that's right. Well, the other option, Raymond, just to throw this out, would be to, you know, use one of the gold ETFs. So this is where you don't take physical possession of the actual precious metal, like, you know, coins perhaps, and you use one of the exchange traded funds that just tracks the price of gold over time. The biggest, you know, in the world right now are GLD. That's the symbol. They've got about $57 billion in that one. IAU would be the second, and then GLDM. You know, those are the three largest. But essentially, you would just track the price of gold, but without having to take physical possession. So if you just want, you know, to pick up the performance of gold, and you're not actually looking to buy and hold it and secure it and store it and have it, you know, actually in hand, then that would be the other option. I'm not saying that's necessarily the direction you need to go, but it's an option to consider if you didn't want to buy the physical precious metal and pay the premiums and the storage and all of that. Make sense?
If you were to take possession, if you took possession, what would be better, coins or just a gold bullion?
Yeah, I like the gold coins. I think that can be a great way to go, especially if you're not looking at using a significant sum here, if it's just a modest amount. So hopefully that helps you, Raymond. We appreciate you being on the program, sir. God bless you. Hey, folks, you know, we're so thankful for all that God is doing here at Faith and Finance, and we're hearing life change all over the place. Incredible stories of God's faithfulness. This was one that really stood out to me. Take a listen to this listener testimony.
I recently experienced God's faithfulness in my life. I was in chronic back pain for 3 years. It got really bad like this last year, to the point like I could barely walk. I had reached to this point of like helplessness. I was worried that I was going to become homeless because I couldn't even work to afford my bills. And I reached out to MoneyWise. Maybe they know of a resource that I haven't reached out to already. People heard the story on MoneyWise and they reached out to the Helping Hands charity and donated money to help me and like bless my life.
Incredible. You know, it's been awesome to watch as all of you respond in this community of stewards that want to be faithful in handling God's money. That was a story. Nova, who, as you heard, went through an incredibly difficult season medically as a young lady in her 20s, just really losing hope. And you all stepped up at a really difficult time. That was back when we were MoneyWise, now Faith and Finance, and really provided for her bills while she was out of work for about 3 months that helped her to get beyond that. She's now back fully at work and just so grateful for what God has done. Let me just say thank you for those of you who have been investing in our listeners and this ministry. And by the way, this is a critical time as we head toward the end of our fiscal year. Just a week from now, if you can give to support our work, now would be a great time to do it. Just head to our website, faithfi.com, and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give. Back with our final segment and your questions just around the corner. Stay with us.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year, and for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. In just a moment, we'll head back to the phones for a few more of your questions today before we round out the program. I've got room for one or two more. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. But first, Jerry Boyer stops by each Friday. We always look forward to our time with Jerry as he updates us on the market and the economy, as well as provides insight into the corporate engagement work that he's been up to, especially as of late. Jerry, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, my friend.
It's good to hear your voice. Hey, tell us what you're watching this week as we round out another week. A little more challenging in the market this week. Why so?
Well, because the Fed said we'll probably be selling assets. We'll probably be tightening the money supply. Or the Fed, you know, chairman, Jerome Powell, kind of hinted at that. Remember those commercials? No, you're too young. You won't remember, but some people in the audience will remember. I work for E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says... And then everybody in the room goes silent and they kind of lean in. You can look it up on YouTube.
Okay.
It's a little before your time. Well, that's because they were saying that E.F. Hutton knows what the market is going to do.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, the Fed, it's not about the Fed knowing what the market is going to do. It's about the Fed being the market. Hmm. Because in our time, you know, basically since the Great Recession of 2008-2009, the market collapsed in 2008 and the recession in 2009, the Fed grew so large compared to history and compared to the markets in general and the economy that it became the largest single actor in markets. This is something we've gone over a lot, but I just feel like I need to remind people. So it is the biggest buyer and seller. So when Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Fed, speaks, everyone kind of silent and they kind of lean in. What little hint either going to be buying or are they going to be selling? Because, in fact, for the most part, they're the thing that's driving market dynamics. Now, we had this thing where, you know, we had this little banking panic a few months ago. That's probably bigger than the Fed. The Fed can't really control that. So that drove markets for a bit. And then we had the debt ceiling game of chicken. And that kind of was in charge for a bit because that's bigger than the Fed. But other than those kind of like economic asteroids that crash into the markets, the Fed is the thing that drives things. And so this week, it was driving things downward. This week, it was saying, well, you know, inflation still isn't beaten, which, by the way, is true. The economy is doing pretty well. I don't know about that. So we're probably going to have more rate hikes. And accordingly, the futures market, which registers what they think rates are going to be in the future, went up. And the probability of rate hikes went up. And what that means is the Fed will be a seller. And when it sells, it takes the money and throws them in an incinerator. I mean, not physically, but that's how the Fed creates money and buys. And then when it sells, it destroys the money. Nobody else gets to do that, except counterfeiters. And it's illegal when they do it. So that means if the Fed is a seller, markets go down. And if the Fed is selling, it's also contracting money supply, which is inflation might not be so bad. So gold went down this week and the dollar got stronger and markets, you know, in general went down. And basically all the signals were the Fed's going to tighten. It's going to fight inflation a little bit more than we thought last week. So inflation will probably be a little lower, but the economy will be slowing down. So a recession just became more likely. Inflation became a little less likely, and markets responded as though the Fed's going to do what the Fed chairman hinted at, which is to be a seller to push markets down. Because for some, because of the reason of their Keynesian economics, they think the way you fight inflation isn't sound money. They think the way you fight inflation is to slow down the economy. They don't want the economy to be growing. They think that economic growth causes inflation. I know that's weird. I know that's wrong. That's not the biblical point of view, but that's, you know, they don't have a biblical point of view. They have Keynes' atheist economics point of view, and that's why they're double-minded men, unstable in all their ways, and they hint one way one week and another way another week, and markets get whipped around.
So if they follow then Keynesian economics and use their two quote-unquote weapons in this fight against inflation, the contracting the money supply and raising interest rates, and this week Chairman Powell is saying, listen, this isn't going away anytime soon, and essentially we're in it for the long haul to get inflation back to where it needs to go, and we're going to use our two tools and our tool belt to do that. How does that play out then, Jerry? Do we actually get to their target? Could this actually work, and what kind of destruction will result in the process?
It's really going to be hard to get to their target. Their target is 2% in the PCE deflator, starting to get technical, but that's their target. There's different inflation measures you can use, right? And they use one that's like an easier one to beat. They grade themselves on a you know, kind of a curve there. I don't think it is possible, given their approach to this. If they think they have to slow down the economy to beat inflation, and given how much money they've created, which is highly inflationary, and it's still out there, it's still sloshing around. I mean, they quadrupled the money supply, and then they pulled it back maybe 10%. So all that money's still sloshing around out there. I mean, in order to slow the economy down enough to cause inflation to drop, they'd have to cause a recession. And by the way, that's not really stopping inflation. I mean, the way you really stop inflation is that you have less money supply and you have more economic growth. You have a balance between the money and the goods and services available. If you scare people with a recession, they won't go to the store for a little while. So prices go down, but that's not really beating inflation. That's just temporarily putting it on hold until people aren't frightened anymore, and then they go out and buy. You know, prices went down for a few months when everything was shut down in COVID, but that wasn't really deflation. That was just we weren't allowed to buy, or we were afraid to buy. And immediately when the malls reopened, we went out and we spent, and there was the high prices. So I think prices will tend to go down more if they drive us into a recession, and they'll probably say, oh, see, we won. But that's not really winning because you haven't dealt with the fundamental problem. If somebody's really sick and you give them a bunch of ibuprofen to drive down their fever, they're still sick.
Yes.
You know, the fever has been driven down artificially. Well, inflation is a fever. Recession slows it down for a little bit, but it doesn't really deal with the fundamental underlying infection.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, Jerry, if in your own personal finances you make a mess of things, you make some bad decisions, it leads to, you know, credit card debt and a lack of margin, and maybe you haven't saved for the future, but you get to a point where you say, you know what, enough is enough, and I want to be a faithful steward from this point forward, then you have to make some decisions as to how you go forward from there. If that's the case here in the United States, and we were to say, okay, we've made some bad decisions, but here's where we are, how would you advise Jerome Powell on where we should go from here, given where we find ourselves today?
I don't think Jerome Powell can solve the problem on his own, because the way to deal with inflation is to get economic growth going, not to slow down the economy. So if I were Jerome, if I were whispering in his ear, I would say, let's hold off. Let's not tighten anymore. Yes, but there's inflation. You're right. There is inflation. And then the next time you give testimony before Congress, and the next time you give a speech, and the next time you're at the New York Economics Club or whatever, put it back on Washington. Put it back on Congress and the president to say, the way Reagan got us out of inflation is, yes, there was monetary discipline, but there was an economic boom. You can't really get out of it for real without a booming economy. So I think that he has to acknowledge there's a limit to what he can do, and not put us through a recession as a way to give the illusion that we've beaten inflation, but in fact stabilize right now. I wouldn't do any more hiking, and I wouldn't do any cutting. I would let it play itself out. And if we have higher than normal inflation, okay, Washington, you need to solve this problem. You need to extend tax cuts. You need to start deregulating. You need to allow us to drill for oil and pump the and refine the oil when we drill for it and pump it out of the ground and sell it to people. If we get supply going again, that drives prices down. That's the real way. Inflation dropped for 200 years in American history, and not just during recessions, which were rare, because we were a growing economy. So the real long-term solution is to go back to God's plan, which is for us to be highly productive and just keep the money supply stable. Don't use the money supply to try to cause booms. Don't use the money supply to try to cause busts to fight inflation. Don't use the money supply to manipulate the economy. That doesn't work.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, I wish you were advising us here on these matters, because, as you said, there is a model for this, and it's not Keynes, and it's not necessarily Reagan or anybody else. It's God's word, because there's a design for economics and wealth creation that starts with Creator God, right?
It does. I think Reagan was closer than Keynes, but Reagan tapped into essentially classical economics, which was formed from a biblical worldview, and people don't realize that, because a lot of the free market economists of the 20th century were agnostics or atheists, but they didn't learn it from agnosticism or atheism. They learned it from Christian theologians who learned it from the Bible. So the classical economics historically comes from a biblical worldview, or for someone who's influenced by the Bible, like Adam Smith. So it's rooted in that. Keynesianism explicitly came out of atheism. Keynes was an atheist. He grounded his economics in atheism, and it shows, because it's foolishness.
And that's the model that's followed in the Ivy League institutions that are educating our leaders today. Is that right?
It is. And so if you're going to be a Fed chair, you almost have to go through that. Whether you're appointed by Republicans or Democrats doesn't seem to matter very much.
Interesting. Well, Jerry, always appreciate your insights, my friend. It's an encouragement on one respect, because we do know where to go. We just need people who will understand God's authority in all of this and ultimately return to a biblical model. At the end of the day, though, we can manage our own economies, and we need to do that in light of a biblical worldview and an eternal perspective. So appreciate your encouragement today, Jerry. Thanks for being with us.
Appreciate you too. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer. He's president of Boyer Research. He's a columnist at World News Group. And if you'd like to learn more about Jerry, he's active on social media as well. He also joins us each Friday on this broadcast with his insights and thoughts on the markets, the economy. And we didn't get to corporate engagement today, but maybe next week. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. By the way, if you'd like to help us close the gap as we head toward our end of fiscal year here at FaithFi, you can do that at faithfi.com. Just click give. Thank you to Pat, Adam, and Jim. Couldn't do it without my amazing team. Thank you for being here as well. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.